Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Getting today's news cycle started on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Well, he's the guy that's going to save you lots of money. It's Matt Granite from Channel 3. Today, he's going to help you light up the holiday season and stay prepared for any blackout. He's the deal boss, Matt Granite. He gets the job done for under 20 bucks.
Tech the halls. I could do that all day. Great to be with you. No, I don't get out much. But for those of us that do, whether you're walking around in the darkness, walking a dog, or dealing with power outages and anything else that life throws at you this storm season, my favorite way to light the way is something that can fit right into a stocking. And unlike flashlights, which can't be propped up to illuminate anything, this thing stands on its own. Say hello to a brand new version of my favorite LED lantern. The one you might have seen me feature earlier this season was your typical black, bright, and ready-to-rock LED lantern. But the new ones, called Handsome Lanterns, are ideal for lighting the way this holiday season. They are brighter, they are less expensive, and they go beyond any of those knockoff lanterns you're going to see at a dollar store, a hardware store, or a service station. The ones that I found tested brighter, the batteries lasted longer, and in the event of any unforeseen circumstance, this is something you not only want in a stocking, but a glove compartment, a basement, an emergency toolbox. This deal, which is under 16 bucks and not a paid product, is waiting for you. Go to facebook.com/dealboss for a link to this and other great deals.
All right, thank you, Matt. Look forward to that. And it looks like you'd probably get that to maybe in time for the holidays. Check it out. It's at WTAM.com. Keyword save. 5:15 right now. Brad Sussman in for Bill Wills. It's Wills and Snyder on a Monday morning. Mr. Mike Snyder is here with sports, and tell you what, Saturday night win sure felt good for the Browns. And you know, we're in a position now. We're using words that I don't know. Back at the start of the season, I didn't think we'd ever be thinking of. Like, even though it's remote, we're saying playoffs.
Well, it's as remote as it can be, but you're absolutely right. To actually say that they still are on the board,
right.
when they put up the graphic of who has a playoff shot, they do. There's an ember of hope. It has been a remarkable turnaround, Brad. When you go back to when they got rid of Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, the way this team has played, the way it has looked, and I mean, this is... If this comes through that they would make the playoffs, you know, it's almost impossible. But
still,
I think you got to feel so good about the direction that they are headed in.
Absolutely. It's just amazing. And to see what Baker Mayfield has done with this team and to see how those guys come together, it's absolutely amazing. You can look forward to Sunday football now. You can look forward to Browns football.
I think beyond Sunday football, you're going to see Monday night football. You're going to see Sunday night football, Thursday night football. The Browns, I would predict, will be on at least 3 nationally televised games next year.
I'll bet you.
That hasn't been the case for about 3 in a decade. they've only been given the obligatory everybody gets a Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm, you're
so
right.
So now they are watching. And the nation saw them Saturday night. That was a heck of a win as they were able to finally beat Denver. You don't want to minimize that. They had not beaten the Broncos since 1990. So, after finally beating the Broncos, the Browns needed a lot of help yesterday. They didn't get any from anybody.
4-man rush. He waits. He fires it for the end zone. Marker down. Touchdown, Antonio Brown!
Pittsburgh Steelers able to hang on for a 17-10 win over the Patriots. Yeah, the Browns actually pulling for Belichick and the boys. They could not get it done. So with the Steelers' victory, that means the best the Browns could do would tie Pittsburgh for the division lead at the end, and Pittsburgh would win the tiebreaker. So there's no chance of winning the AFC North. Now you look at the wild card. They needed both the Colts and the Titans to lose. Well, guess what happened? Indiana shut out Dallas, and Tennessee shut out the Giants. So no help there. Could Baltimore get upset?
Lamar Jackson takes the snap, and that'll do it. It is official as the Ravens take down the Buccaneers. Our final score, Ravens 20, Buccaneers 12.
So the Ravens pull that one out. Thus, the Browns at 6-7-1 have just this ember of playoff hope remaining. And here's what it is. They must win out. The Ravens must lose out. The Dolphins need to lose one of their final two. The Colts and Titans must lose this coming week. And then they have to play to a tie in the final head-to-head meeting of the week. For all that to come in, well, it's virtually, well, I guess the odds, they say, are at least 100-1. It seems like it's more than that to me. But But it is good news to know the Browns are finishing on an upswing, and you can see there's just a whole lot of reasons to be optimistic about the future of this team. They'll take on the Bengals Sunday at 1. Cincinnati got its first win since October with a 30-16 win over the lowly Raiders yesterday. At the queue last night,
Simmons down the lane taking a Redick feed. He lays it in. Simmons has 22 points, 14 assists, and 11 rebounds. It's with 3:15 to go. It's Sixers 120, Cavaliers 101.
Yeah, 6'10 point guard. He can do a lot. Ben Simmons took care of the Cavs yesterday. Philadelphia with a big fourth quarter. Cavs actually really down by 4 through 3. Philly scored the first 11 of the fourth, went on to win it 128-105. Top scorers for the Cavs were Jordan Clarkson and Chetty Osman, each with 18. Cavs now 7-23. Will play at Indiana tomorrow night. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio. WTAM 1100.
Channel 3 weather time right now. Let's check in with meteorologist Holly Strano.
Brad, 1 week till Christmas Eve, and there's a chill in the air. It's breezy. Partly to mostly cloudy skies, 30s today. 20s tonight, 30s again tomorrow.
Right now it is 34 at Hopkins, 36 along the lakeshore. At your severe weather station, News Radio WTAM 1100. From our 24-hour newsroom, Vic Gideon joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brad. It's a long shot for the Browns to make the Super Bowl, but don't tell that to the fans. They're going crazy over that that big win over the weekend. Also, we had a police officer in North Ridgeville who said he was proud to write an 18-year-old a ticket. And a homecoming for a former local coach and football standout. He's coming back to Northeast Ohio to coach again. Those stories are more.
I know. Look forward to that.
Coming up at 5:30.
Very good. All right, let's find out what's going on in the southern border here. Bill Zimfer joins us now from NBC News Radio. Bill, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Brad. Good morning.
Good morning. We heard the tragic story of the 7-year-old that died after coming across the border illegally with her folks. Any update on that? Because I know the father said, no, we gave her food, we gave her water. She just suddenly fell ill. Any new updates on that?
Well, we already have an internal investigation underway by the Department of Homeland Security, Brad, but now the girl's family is saying that they want what they call an objective and thorough investigation into this death. Here's what happened. The 7-year-old girl came across the border in New Mexico on December 8th when she was given a routine health check by the Border Patrol in that area. Everything was clear. Her father signed a form that declared that, said she was in good health, but on the bus ride to a processing station, she became ill, became vomiting, and got worse from there, ended up stopping breathing, and she had to be revived a couple of times, was eventually transported by air ambulance to a hospital in El Paso, where she eventually passed away. So the question is, what happened here? And one of the big issues that has come out of this, I mentioned that her father signed off on a form. That form was in English. Well, her father does not read or write English, basically was signing his name to a paper he knew nothing about. But still, the family claims that this girl was healthy, and even though there had been claims by Homeland Security that she had not had food or water for several days before crossing the border, the family says, no, that is not true. So what we have here is really another issue that we didn't need involving immigration. I mean, we've been swamped with asylum claims. We've been swamped with talk about what we're going to do about a border wall. Now we have an investigation underway into the care of this unfortunate 7-year-old girl who passed away.
Bill Zimfer, let's talk a little bit about that border wall, because both sides are digging in. Chuck Schumer this weekend on the morning show saying there's no way they're going to get the money. And, of course, the president saying we're putting it up and we're ready to shut down the government over this. What say you on this?
Well, is the president ready to shut it down? Well, over the weekend, yesterday, Stephen Miller, the senior White House advisor, said yes, he is absolutely willing to shut down the government. What we're talking about is a partial government shutdown, since there have already been some spending bills passed. It would be about one quarter of federal departments would be shut down if this happens on Friday. The president seemingly standing firm, Democrats as well. They've offered two alternatives to the president, one that would provide about $1.5 billion for what they call border security. That would be upgrades to existing barriers there. Or they say we could freeze the Department of Homeland Security budget through next October fund everything else, just keep everything the way it is for now. But that is not likely to please the president. There is one other thing here, Brad, that's going to be interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
If the president pushes for a shutdown by Friday or tries to bring forth a spending plan that includes funding for his wall, there are more than 40 Republicans who are done in Congress. They are either leaving or retiring or deciding to do something else. And the word is that they may not show this week because this is an extra week. This was not on the congressional calendar. There's word that they may not be there for a critical vote this week. We'll have to see who shows up.
Interesting. Always fun and games over there in Washington, D.C. Bill Zimfer kind of sorting it out for us. We appreciate your time this morning.
Anytime, Brad.
News Radio, WTAM 1100. TAM 1100. Let's find out what's out on the roadways. Pat Butler's got the latest.
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, if your Social Security benefits were denied, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Highways are still light and moving up to speed for you. One problem on the east side, though, there's an accident that closes down Lakeshore Boulevard westbound at East 195th. If you spot anything else, let us know on the Dunkin' Donuts traffic tip line, 216-986-8888. This report is brought to you by Untuck It. Looking for the perfect holiday look? Get yourself a shirt from Untuck It, the original untucked shirt. Perfect for every shape, every size, every body on your holiday list. Look no further than Untuck It. Use promo code TRAFFIC for 20% savings at untuckit.com or at 50 Untuck It stores. Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 620. Pat Butler, News Radio, WTIM 1100, Total Traffic.
Channel 3 weather time right now. We check in with meteorologist Holly Strano.
Hey, Brad. Partly to mostly cloudy skies today. Breezy, chilly 30s. We'll be in the 20s tonight. We're back in the 30s tomorrow.
34 Hopkins, 37 along the lakeshore at your severe weather station. News Radio, WTAM 1100. We've got kind of the, back during the Apollo launches and moon landings and stuff like that. The three guys who are going up into space, and then there are always the three guys who are the backup crew, okay? And that's kind of what we got here through the rest of the year. We got the backup crew for the launch team here. It's Anthony Alford is in for Scott Scooter Reese. I'm in for Bill Wills, and Brad Wadilla back behind the glass is kind of in for Bill Wills as well.
A little bit,
because Bill
and Scooter.
And Scooter. Bill operates his own board as he does this show. How he does that, I don't know. He'd be the one normally pushing the buttons, pulling the strings, but Brad is here too, and Anthony's here playing the part of Scott Scooter Reese. So that means you're in charge of trivia this week.
Yes, yes. I am very excited about this trivia this week. We're doing all holiday trivia all week long to get everyone and myself, more importantly, ready for Christmas and all of that. By the way,
yes,
for this almost impossible trivia, you can win a vehicle pass to check out Magic of Lights happening now through December 31st at the Cuyahoga County Fairgrounds.
Oh, we went through that this weekend. It is so cool. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I want to do it myself, actually. I cannot wait for it. Pile everyone into the car and experience this festive drive-through display. Details at magicoflights.com. Now, for this one, this trivia is going to be a little interesting.
Okay.
I think it's a tough one here. So, the question is, Miracle on 34th Street centers on what real-life department store?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Miracle on 34th Street centers on what real-life department store? 216-578-1111. We're looking for caller 11, and you can win the vehicle pass Magic of Lights.
Impossible trivia contestants must supply the correct answer to the question that matches the station's answer. Additional rules apply. For complete contest rules, visit our studios or WTAM.com.
Our city, our country, our world. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the passing of a dear friend of mine, Don Webster, who died on Thursday. Don was a dear friend of mine. I worked with him as a colleague at Channel 5. And a little secret a lot of people don't know, I'm the reason I'm sitting here in this chair right now, the reason I'm in Cleveland is because of Don Webster. Don wanted to retire, and he wanted to make his retirement kind of a gradual thing. So they brought me in from Florida to move here and do the weekends and fill in for Don Webster and start filling in more and more for Don Webster and basically assuming Don Webster's role. We did this over a period of about 5 years, so it didn't look like any sudden change. Don knew from being in TV for so many years that you don't, sudden change is something the audience doesn't like. And he retired to South Carolina. He retired at age 60, believe it or not, and because his father died at a very young age, and he didn't want to miss out on life, as he put it. And this is a guy that never did miss out on life. He moved back to Cleveland a couple of years back. He had been suffering some health problems. I don't need to get into details there, but died in his sleep and last Thursday, and they'll have a private ceremony for family and friends sometime in the near future. But Don Webster, great man, and a true loss, and just a legend in this town, and we're going to miss him greatly. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Channel 3 weather time right now. Let's check in with meteorologist Holly Strano.
Partly to mostly cloudy skies this Monday, Brad, and a breezy, a seasonal kind of chill with 30s for highs. We're in the 20s tonight. We're back in the 30s for your Tuesday.
Right now, 34 Hopkins, 37 along the lakeshore. It's your severe weather station, News Radio, WTAM 1100. From the 24-hour newsroom, Vic Gideon joins us now. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, and it's December 17th. Browns fans are well. They're talking playoffs. Can you believe it? It's the middle of December, and they're talking about the Super Bowl possibilities.
We got Terry Pluto we're going to talk to in just a second. We'll get his take on this whole thing, too.
Hey, you hate to use the term viral, but North Ridgeville police have written a post on Facebook where they say they were proud to write an 18-year-old a ticket, and it is getting feedback from all over the country. And if you're feeling old and creaky this morning, I'm going to tell you about somebody 4,400 years old.
Whoa!
See how they feel today.
Okay.
Those stories and more coming up at 7 o'clock.
I look forward to that, Vic, just about 8 minutes from now. News Radio, WTAM 1100. All right, he's the man. He's a sports writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, and he's brought to us this morning by Universal Windows Direct. We're talking about Terry Pluto. How are you, my friend?
Well, Brad.
You know,
I'm not 4,400 years old.
I can tell you this, some mornings I wake up and I feel that way.
Yes,
but hey,
let
me tell you, we are using the P word when we're talking Browns. I mean, okay, it is a remote shot, but still, the fact that on the 28th of October, we never would have uttered that phrase, but now there's a glimmer of hope.
Exactly. If nothing else, it keeps the players interested and motivated. I remember the other day in Denver, Batonio said we feel like we've been in like a single elimination game for the last several weeks, because by throwing it out there, as Greg Williams and the players did, it just added some motivation for them, as opposed to nobody wants to play, who's going to be in the draft, you know, I can't wait to get out of here. The usual stuff that hits the Browns about November 1st.
Terry, I think winning there the way they did, It was not pretty, but that's okay. I think that, to me, almost makes it more impressive they were able to win a game like that at that place.
Exactly, and that was a desperate Denver team. I mean, they don't handle losing very well up there, you know, because they're used to a lot of different things than we are. And when Greg Williams didn't kick the field goal, and then all of a sudden they get the ball back, I go, all right, this is where you lose. You know, here it comes, some sort of Browns-like thing. But instead, Jabril Peppers gets a big sack after he picked the ball off in the end zone. And you go, oh, my goodness, how about that?
Yes. And
Jabril Peppers.
Yes, making plays. He really did a great job. And an interception, too, that he made. He ran halfway across the field to make that play. That was huge as well.
It's funny, I thought that was Randall at first that made that play, because it was a Randall-type play, you know, the safety coming out of nowhere, mm-hmm. how he's in that. And I go, it's
pepper.
Jabril, and it shows you that us Ohioans can love a Michigan man. That's right. Terry, you know, this is so fascinating. And yes, it's about as remote. It's not even a flicker of hope. It's an ember out there. But you're right, though. Greg Williams can address those guys and say, look, we are still in this thing. And that, as your point's well taken. Also, John Dorsey, what's going through his mind, you think, right now when he looks at the big picture? Keep Williams in Kitchens. Blow it all up. Keep Kitchens. Get a new coach. There's some tough decisions he's going to have to make, it looks like.
The great thing is he doesn't have to make them until the end of the season, so you wait to see, okay, does this thing keep going, or do they fall on their face against Cincinnati? I mean, that's something you look at. Then my guess is that game in Baltimore is going to mean a ton to the Ravens. So you go down there, and how do you play there? Do you end up 4-4, or do you end up 6-2? I mean, that is the wonderful thing about, as I find you get older, sometimes you don't have to make a decision right away and everybody wants you to. Well, just wait. You don't get to hire a coach for week 16 anyway, or 17. You've got this in place. Take a good look at it. You know, and each week you'll see too how, you know, are the players still responding? Are they still engaged? Which, you know, clearly they are. You know, how does Greg handle himself the pressure? I mean, you could go back and look at, they won that game, Mike, but I don't know about you, but I'm kicking that field goal at the end of the game there.
Yeah, that was a bold, bold call by him. Yeah, because you've got the 4 points then. They've got to score a touchdown, and the way Case Keenum was playing with the Browns defense, yeah, that was pretty bold by him. The other thing, though, with Kitchens, they're, that connection that he seems to have with Baker, Terry, that's pretty solid. Yet, if you brought in another guy as head coach, do you insist that the offensive coordinator stay? That's where it can get a little tricky.
Well, that's some of the things, like when Mike Tomlin came in, they didn't make a ton of changes on the coaching staff. Some, but not a lot in Pittsburgh. So I guess it really just depends on who the coach it would be, you know. Now, you know, the Browns defense, that was the first good game they've played in a long time. Let's kind of get that on the record. I have to admit, I've had defensive concerns, and I've got to give them a ton of credit. They went in against Denver that ran the ball well, and they took the run away. You would never guess the Browns were ranked 31st against the run, and Denver was the 7th best running team. So that was really good to see.
Terry, for those looking for a stocking stuffer, possible present for their Secret Santa.
Boy, what would be a good idea, Brad?
Gosh, you know, there's this book out there called The Browns Blues by a guy named Terry Pluto, right?
Yeah, it's been selling really well.
That's fantastic. And where are you going to be this week to do some signings?
Yeah, Tuesday night, I will be at Barnes & Noble and Mentor from 7 to 8. So Tuesday night in Mentor, Barnes & Noble, 7 to 8. And Wednesday, I will be at Barnes & Noble in Westlake from 7 to 8.
Outstanding. I might see in Westlake I need to get my Secret Santa one of those books. It would be perfect for him. Absolutely. Terry, please.
Will you sign it for Terry?
I will sign it.
Yeah, how about that, Brad?
Tell Brad to get in line. I'll sign it.
I will. Absolutely, Terry. Hey, listen, we appreciate your time this morning. Terry Pluto, our visit this morning, brought to us by Universal Windows Direct.
All right.
Channel 3 weather time right now. Let's check in with meteorologist Holly Strano.
Partway to mostly cloudy skies this Monday, Brad, and a breezy, a seasonal kind of chill with 30s for highs. We're in the 20s tonight. We're back in the 30s for your Tuesday.
All right, we're looking at 35 right now at Hopkins, 36 along the lakeshore at your severe weather station. News Radio, WTAM 1100. From our 24-hour newsroom, Vic Gideon joins us now. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm very well. As our Browns fans, Mike's going to tell you all about the Browns playoff chances. I will tell you how excited Browns fans are to watch this team. A North Ridgeville policeman says he was proud to write a ticket. His viral post that is going across the country, 50,000 likes already. And if you like your gas prices low, you're going to like this story. Under $2 in some places, which is almost inconceivable.
Wow.
Those stories are more all coming up at 8 o'clock.
All right, very good. 7:52 right now. Let's talk Browns, as long as we got that as a subject. We'll bring in a man who's an expert, not only an NFL great, but now an NFL coach for our Cleveland Browns, Josh Cribbs. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
We're doing real well alongside Mike Snyder, Brad Sussman here. Josh, I mean, it's incredible the win we had Saturday, and the fact that we're even talking playoffs is just amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is a new team to be excited for. You know, I'm talking to fans every day, and it's just you know, everyone's excited that this is a new team that has something to cheer for. So I'm excited that, you know, we're winning, and that's first. First thing is first.
Well, Josh, you've been through it all, and I know, you know, we spoke with you on our pregame show, the countdown to kickoff Saturday, and I recall you talking about Jabril Peppers being ready. You actually said that he's been playing well, but you were calling that, you know, he's really on the verge of doing something special. Boy, he was the other night, wasn't he?
Oh, definitely. And it's guys like that, it's just a matter of time. You know, and also I let him know, you know, he has to visualize having success. You know, so I remember our conversation we had, you know, so he's also one of our guys, Will, you know, but he is, you know, one of the leaders on the team, a leader on the defense, and it showed up in the game the other day, and rightfully so.
Josh, you were a leader out on the field. You played the game at the highest level there, one of the best in the business. Is that how you coach some of these guys, to give them the idea, you got to visualize, you got to do this? Is that some of your coaching techniques you're using now?
Oh, definitely. You know, these guys, you know, a lot of them haven't done certain things we're asking them to do. And you have to visualize yourself doing it. See yourself having success, then go out there and do it. You know, these guys are starting to buy in. Not just to what I'm saying, what I'm coaching, but to, you know, Greg Williams' philosophy. The guys are starting to buy in and do what the coaches are asking them to do, and it's showing out there on the field.
Hey, Josh, just for someone that's been through it, hey, we've all lived through it. I mean, the Browns have not beaten Denver since 1990. How fun was that play ride home from Denver Saturday night?
Oh, it was definitely fun. You know, guys, you see how late it was, how tired it was. You know, it just felt so much, you know, relief, you know, winning that game and coming back. It felt so much better having to take that long plane ride with a W. You know, it felt better grading the film. It felt better looking over, you know, making corrections. It's always easy to correct after a win, you know, you know, Greg, he likes to say he wants to see hard after a win and a loss, because you can't get complacent. We got to go out there and do it again the next week.
Well, you know, it was a faint hope going into the weekend, even with a win, about playoff opportunities. The Browns, you guys got no help yesterday from anybody around the league, but there is still a tiny sliver there. So I guess that's something that you, of course, Greg Williams, can say to the guys, hey, look, we're still in this thing. So let's stay focused and get ready for the Bengals on Sunday, Josh, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we are still in it, but at the same time, we want to just win games. We know it's an outside chance, but we want to give ourselves the best chance. And the best chance to, you know, we let the guys know, hey, you're playing for your conference next year. You know, we want to be real clear with these guys and let them know, hey, you know, last year, the record this year was, you know, this is every game. So, you know, from here on out, and then whatever happens,
and that's
week in, week out.
And you know what? Whatever you're teaching them, keep doing it, man, because it's obviously being a big success out there on the field. Everybody is excited about the team, and I hope those guys out on the field know it. Josh Cribbs, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Always nice to hear from Josh and hear it from a guy that's, you know, NFL savvy. And
well, he's lived it. He knows what it's like to beat Denver and now to enjoy wins in December. That's what he's talking about.
You know, absolutely.
They're building something here. We can see it. And now you go out Sunday and listen, don't take the Bengals for granted now.
No. Absolutely
right now, that's a test for them now to come back. Where now you're the favorite. You know, mm-hmm. You're expected. There's another part of that where you're expected to win, to go out there and do that. And I think they will. I love what I see right now growing with this team, led by this quarterback that you hate to call him a rookie.
Right?
Because he doesn't play like one.
No, he does not. He doesn't play like a rookie. It's amazing stuff, and we're looking forward to seeing more. Of course, Bengals coming up this weekend. News Radio, WTAM 1100.com. Channel 3 weather. Let's check in with meteorologist Holly Strano.
Brad, 1 week till Christmas Eve, and there's a chill in the air. It's breezy. Partly to mostly cloudy skies, 30s today. 20s tonight, 30s again tomorrow.
Right now, 35 Hopkins, 36 along the lakeshore. It's your severe weather station. News Radio, WTAM 1100.
From our 24-hour newsroom, Vic Gideon joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Do not tell Browns fans their chances of making the playoffs because they're thinking Super Bowl this year. North Ridgeville police officer says he is proud to have written a ticket, he says, that may have saved at least one life. And it appears as though Polly wanted more than a cracker. Got a story about a parrot and Alexa. Those stories tomorrow coming up at 8:30.
All right, look forward to that right here at News Radio WTAM 1100. You know what that music is? Yep, time for our Cavaliers update. This time around, it's brought to you by Huntington Bank. You're looking for a bank that looks out to you? Welcome to Huntington and also Metro Lexus. Joining us right now, John Michael from the broadcast team. How are you this morning, sir?
Great, Brad. How are you?
We're doing well. Fourth quarter was our bugaboo last night, huh?
Yeah, it bit the Cavaliers, no question, as the Sixers outscored the Cavs down the stretch in that final quarter, 39-20. Cavs were on the wrong end of a 128-105 game. You look at that game, and it was the usual suspects for the 76ers. I mean, Ben Simmons, a terrific young 6'10 point guard, doing what he does. I mean, the guy's a triple-double threat every time he takes the floor, and that's what he did to the Q yesterday. 22 points, 14 assists, 11 rebounds. Joel Embiid did his thing, 24-9, and the Sixers improved their record to 20-11 on the season.
You know, John, and I think Larry Drew talked about it afterwards, that just at the end of the day, the Cavs were only down 4-3, but the Sixers just wore them down, and the Cavs starters were outscored 90-55 by the Sixers. And that's, we know, we see what's going on here for the Cavaliers right now.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. And I mean, conversely, bench play for the Cavs has been pretty good, but they haven't got the production out of the starters that they needed. I mean, when you face a guy like Joel Embiid, it's a bad day to have three of your centers out, and Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, and also John Henson, who was most recently acquired. So, yeah, I mean, that's the way it works typically, and that's what we've seen happen over the last couple of weeks with the injuries and everything else as the Sixers starters. It's one of the best starting fives in the East. I mean, I think the Sixers do have problems bench-wise and rotation-wise, but those starting five, they got a really nice starting lineup, and we saw it on display just yesterday.
I tell you, John, watching Matthew Dellavedova the last week has been impressive. Just the way we knew all the energy and all that he brings to the table, but really the way he's just kind of organized that second group's been impressive, hasn't it?
It really has, Mike. I mean, the guy dished out 7 assists in 21 minutes yesterday, and his three-point shooting's been terrific. He's not forcing his game. I think he's, developed a really nice chemistry with Jordan Clarkson and done that quickly. I mean, Dellavedova was a plus player yesterday. The Cavs lost that game by 23 points, yet when Dellavedova was on the floor, they outscored the 76ers, so I think it tells you a lot. I think they do look, we know what he can do as a quarterback, of that team as a point guard right on the show, but they do look a lot more organized, as you mentioned, Mike. I mean, that second unit had looked a little scrambly, they're looking to get their own shots, not looking to pass the ball around, but it's been, different since Dellavedova's taken the helm. I also think Larry Nance has benefited from Dellavedova being out there on the floor. His numbers have improved across the board, so I think Deli's doing a lot of good things for this team, along with the energy, along with the commitment on the defensive end, which, of course, can be contagious as well.
And, John, the more they play together, the better it's going to get. It's like, when you inject a new person in there, it takes some time to get everybody feeling the same way. So we really can hopefully expect this getting smoother and smoother, right?
One would hope, and injuries, hopefully, guys coming off the injury list, that's going to help, of course, as well. As I mentioned to Michael, I think the Cavs missed Tristan Thompson a ton. I think he was the Cavs' best player over the first, quarter of the season, he was out 2 to 4 weeks, so he's on the mend and getting better, but the Cavs need that body inside. Obviously, we know what Kevin Love can do, and we'll see waiting for him, but Cavs' big men, we saw it on display, like I said yesterday, when you take on teams like the 76ers that have an Embiid, or even a Brook Lopez, as we saw with Milwaukee a couple of games ago, when he's able to get out around that perimeter, hit those threes, Cavs need their, their big men healthy, and so we continue to wait, and hopefully it will continue as the season rolls along.
And John, a three-game road trip starting tomorrow night at Indiana. There are no easy spots in this journey, are there?
No, this is a tricky little trip for a couple of reasons. One, the teams, you know, the Cavs are taking on three teams that are going to be playoff teams, more likely than not, in the Eastern Conference, Indiana for sure. I mean, that's a terrific team, in the Hoosier State. The Cavs take on Indiana tomorrow, then off to Charlotte. That's a team that's gotten a lot better. Kemba Walker's playing some great basketball. And then Friday in Toronto to meet Toronto, still the best team in the Eastern Conference. So it's a 3- and 4-day stretch in three different cities against three pretty good teams. So Cavs are going to have to, you know, Cavs are going to have to step it up this week, Michael, in those cities if they're going to pull out a couple of W's.
Well, John, we appreciate your time this morning. And again, look forward to you hearing the call tomorrow night right here at News Radio WTAM 1100.
All right, guys, have a good week.
All right, our Cavaliers update brought to us by Huntington Bank. You're looking for a bank that looks out for you? Welcome to Huntington, and also by Metro Lexus. 8:40, time for traffic and weather together on the 10s. You get it mornings and afternoons right here at News Radio WTAM 1100. Let's find out what's going on out in the roadways. Pat Butler's got the latest.
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, if your Social Security benefits were denied, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Looking much better on the west side right now with the accident on 90 East to West 44th out of the way. 77 North is still busy approaching 490. Still a slowdown on the east side. An earlier car fire still being cleared up. The 480 East ramp to 271 South has the right lane blocked. That slows you approach Warrensville Center. And if you're coming up from Akron, there's an accident on 77 North at the Central Interchange blocking the right lane. This report is brought to you by Aldi. You already know Aldi has low prices, but did you know right now their low prices are dropping even lower? Yep, your local Aldi is lowering prices on hundreds of your favorites like shredded cheddar cheese, just $2.49. Hurry in for this and other deals store-wide. Aldi, shop differently. Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 8:50. Pat Butler, News Radio, WTIM 1100, Total Traffic.
Channel 3 weather, let's check in with meteorologist Holly Strano.
Brad, 1 week till Christmas Eve, my friend, and cloud cover will be on the increase, but pretty uneventful. Breezy, a seasonal kind of chill in the 30s today, 20s tonight, tomorrow back in the 30s.
All right, right now, 35 at Hopkins, 36 along the lakeshore. At your severe weather station, News Radio WTAM 1100. News Radio WTAM 1100, Brad Sussman in for Bill Wills, joined by the man, the leader of the Fighting 16th, it's Jim Renacci. How are you this morning, sir?
Good, Brad. How are you this morning?
Very good, very good. You guys still got some fighting to do over there in Capitol Hill. We're talking government shutdowns. To me, from what Chuck Schumer said over the weekend, the minority leader in the Senate, that he doesn't want to give any money to the wall, but President Trump has some other ideas.
Well, Brad, that's exactly right. Where we're at again this week is another threat of shutdown, and it's all about Democrats have said we'll give $1.6 billion. The president wants $5 billion, and that's where we're at. It's sad because 80% of the government is already funded and will be funded through next September, but we're talking about a small portion of the government, and we're talking about a wall. This has become a political issue. That's all it really is. Nancy Pelosi still doesn't have 218 votes, so she has to be careful how she responds going forward. And Chuck Schumer, I think, is helping her along the way. Because I said all along, the difference between $1.6 billion and $5 billion is small, small amounts when we're talking about spending $4 trillion a year. But this is a political issue. That's it.
Now, explain to folks what you mean when you said Nancy Pelosi has to walk kind of carefully because she doesn't have 218 votes. Explain to people what you mean by that.
Well, of course, she needs 218 votes to be speaker. There are a lot of people on her left flank that are telling her that they're still not supportive of her. They're watching her very closely. They're seeing how she handles this wall issue because they do not want to put any money towards the wall. So she's using this, in my opinion, and many are saying the same thing, as a political issue to try and keep those people in lockstep with them, with her, so that she can get the 218 votes and be speaker.
That's because she's kind of in a very interesting position right now. But, you know, you've got somebody a little bit different in the White House right now, Jim Renacci. You've worked with President Trump. This man wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. Some say he's a master negotiator. Is this something that you think he can negotiate? Are these people's heels too dug in?
Well, I think they're dug in. I think at the end we'll get something negotiated, but I think the president will be willing to shut things down. And at the end of this week, if we are not able to come up with an answer, he will go forward with the shutdown. Now, again, it's an
it's interesting because it's political only. It doesn't include a full shutdown of the government. It's just a very small partial shutdown. That's why I tell people it's political. Social Security checks will still be paid. Members of Congress will still be paid. I mean, all those things are going to continue to happen. So this will be a very small shutdown, if any.
And the government is going to be shut down most of the week anyway, as a matter of fact. Jim Renacci, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Brad. You have a great day.
You too. News Radio WTAM 1100.